Well, this morning we are finishing our sermon series, a sermon series we call I Quit. It's a sermon series where we have been looking at those areas in our life where God is calling us to make a change. What are those things God wants us to stop so that we can start the thing God is asking us to begin? Now, if you've been with us the past month or so, you'll remember we've talked about things like I quit making excuses, or I quit going for perfect, or last week we talked about I quit needing to be needed. And this morning, we come to a new topic. It's a topic that focuses much less on what it is we're doing, and instead, it focuses on our tension. What is it that we are focused on? We're going to look at this topic, but before we do, will you join with me in a word of prayer? Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. For you, O God, are our potter. We are your clay. Amen. Well, several years ago now, researchers at California State University conducted a research study because they wanted to try and determine the average attention span of an American teenager. Now, in the study, 300 middle and high school students were asked to concentrate on a 15-minute educational video that was being shown by the researchers. The young people were told they could watch the video in their native environment. They could watch it in their room or at school or wherever they wanted. And they could also bring with them whatever note-taking equipment they wanted to bring with them, whether that was a phone or a laptop or an iPad. And every minute, on the minute, the researchers checked in to see what it is the young people were doing. Now, let me ask you, what do you think the average attention span of an American middle or high school student is? Now, how long could they focus on that educational video before their mind went someplace else? The answer? 3 minutes. They could focus for 3 minutes, which, truth be told, is 2 minutes longer than I expected. In just about every case, as soon as the video went on and the students began to look at it, within seconds, they would reach into their bag, they would pull out a phone or an iPad or a computer, and they would just check in with the world around them 3 minutes before they got distracted. 3 minutes of focus. But of course, that's teenagers we're talking about. Those are young people with the attention span of a goldfish. Fortunately, we adults don't have that problem, do we? That we're always focused. We're always paying attention to that which really matters. Right? I can still remember one of the very first sermons I preached. I was 27 years old at the time. I was preaching to a group of, 12 people. And I was giving it everything I had. I had worked on the sermon for about 25 hours, making sure things were as perfect as possible. I was preaching with emotion, enthusiasm. I was making eye contact with everyone in the sanctuary. And I had their attention, too, for about 5 minutes. I can still remember one woman. She was seated right on that very first pew. And as soon as I started speaking, she reached into her bag. And she pulled out a nail file. And for the next 15 minutes, she filed each and every nail on her hand. I would preach and preach, and she would grind and grind away. She's lucky my sermon wasn't longer. She might have lost a knuckle. Now, to her defense, she listened as long as she could. She paid attention as long as she could, but eventually she just got distracted. It happens to us all, after all. We all eventually get distracted. The sermon has been 3 minutes right now. And so one day Jesus told his disciples a parable. Once upon a time, he said there was a man who decided to throw a great banquet for all of his friends. A man who pulled out all the stops. He hired the caterers. He brought in a live band. He decided to make this an event no one would forget. And he sent out the invitations. Only Jesus said when the guests received the invitations, each and every one of them turned the man down. No one showed up. And why weren't they present at that dinner party? Why didn't they come to that overwhelming event of joy? Well, Jesus said they just got distracted. That's all it was. They just got distracted. One man, Jesus says, was distracted by what was going on in his home life. After all, they had just bought a piece of land, and you know how home ownership is. And another man was distracted by his work life. His company had just brought in a load of oxen, and he had a lot to do. And still someone else was distracted by his relationships. He had just gotten married, and things were, they were interesting. And, Jesus said no one could come. No one could be present at the party. Why? Because their mind was already someplace else. Their attention was someplace else. Their focus was someplace else. Do you know, according to the USA Today, the average adult spends 23 hours a week texting? 23 hours. And that 95% of all messages are read within 3 minutes of being sent. And that every hour of every day, there are 913,242,000 texts sent worldwide. And that doesn't include app-to-app messaging. They were just distracted, Jesus said. That's all it was. They just got distracted. Did you know the highest traffic of Facebook always occurs between 1 and 3 o'clock p.m. every day, right in the middle of the work week? Did you know every hour, 12.5 million photos are uploaded to someone's profile, and every second, 5 new profiles are created? We wish we could make it, the guest said. Our mind is just someplace else. We have something else going on. Yes, we live in a world that is becoming more and more distracted. A world where our attention is becoming more and more fractured. You want to hear the irony of it all? The irony of it all is this. Those things that are distracting us, those things that are demanding our attention, well, they're not bad things. None of them are bad things. Work's not a bad thing. Life's not a bad thing. Relationships aren't a bad thing. It's just sometimes, when left unchecked, they can monopolize our lives. And sometimes when left unchecked, they can take us mentally to someplace we never intended to go. Please accept our regrets, the guest said. Just can't make it. We just can't be there. I remember having a conversation recently, talking with a friend of mine about this very issue. We were talking about how it felt like our world was just so distracted nowadays. We were talking about how people were always on their cell phones wherever they went, and how no matter where you go, there's always a TV on in the background, and we were talking about how you just can't get people to focus. And during our conversation, my friend said to me, she said, David, just remember this. She said, remember, no matter where you go, no matter what it is you're doing, the holy moment, the moment where God is, the holy moment, she said, it is always the present one. She said, what's happened in the past, that's dead and gone. What's going to happen in the future, that hasn't come yet. The holy moment, the matter that matters the most, is the moment right in front of you. So don't miss it, she said. No matter where you are, no matter what it is you're doing, don't miss it. You see, there's no doubt about it. There are many important things going on in the world. There are many important things that demand our attention. But again and again, the Bible reminds us the only holy moment we are ever guaranteed is a moment going on right now. The only holy place you will ever travel to is the place you are right now. The only holy experience you will ever experience is the experience being given to you right now. So don't miss it, Jesus says. Don't miss it. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place, Jacob said to the angel. And the only thing you need to do to experience that presence? Well, show up. Is be present. You see, when the host realized that no one was coming to his party, when he realized that everyone was distracted by other things, he sent his servant out into the city a second time. This time, he invited the poor and the cripple and the lame and the blind, and they came to the celebration. And why did they come? Because they accepted the invitation. Why were they there? It's because they showed up. Yes, a holy moment. The moment that matters most is always the present one. So don't miss it. The great Catholic priest and theologian Henry Nouwen tells the story of a student who stopped by his office one day when he was teaching at Yale Divinity School. The student knocked on his door and asked Henry Nouwen if he had a moment. He asked if he could sit with them, and as soon as they sat down, the student said to him, Professor Nouwen, I just want you to know there's nothing going wrong in my life. He said, I want you to know I don't have any questions I need you to answer. I don't have any troubles I need advice about. I was wondering if we could just sit and be together for a while. So the two men sat there. In that small office, they sat there. Now instead, they talked for a few minutes about everything that had gone on over the past year. They talked about family and faith and friendships. But he said, eventually, the conversation ran dry. Eventually, neither of the men said a word. Instead, they just sat in silence. But Nouwen said it wasn't an awkward silence. It wasn't an uncomfortable silence. Instead, he said it was the type of silence that brings two people closer together than they have ever been before. He said, for what felt like an eternity, the two of us sat, and we didn't say a word, but instead we could feel the presence of God fill the room. Later on, Henry Nouwen would describe that experience as one of the most holy encounters of his life. It's 913 million messages every hour. 913 million people who want your attention, but it's not worth it. It's never worth it. You see, what's happened in the past, that's dead and gone. What's happening in the future, well, it's not here yet. The holy moment instead is the present one. Don't miss it. There's a celebration going on. Whatever you do, don't miss it. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Will you pray with me? Eternal God, we give you thanks for the ways your Spirit is breaking through into our lives right now. Grant us eyes to see and ears to hear the promise of your gospel that indeed you are with us. May your glory fill this place. Amen.